welcome to the Tales of Teaching podcast, a place where I hope you can find inspiration, creativity, and most importantly, someone to relate to. Teaching can be tough, as I'm sure you know, so I'm hoping this can be a space where we can motivate one another to take teaching to a whole new level. Hello, you guys. So it's been a long time. And when I say it's been a long time, I mean, it's been like, maybe a year, because the last episode I did was on distance learning. So yeah, that was quite a long time ago. So we have a lot of things to catch up on. So today's episode is going to be kind of a little differently than like what my normal episodes would be on. Not so much on the work realm, but I'm trying to kind of make this centered around a topic that I just feel like a lot of people maybe need to hear, especially because I don't know if you know this or not, but I became a mom recently, somewhat recently, almost a year ago, in September of 2020. And I kind of have a lot to say about that. So I'm going to go ahead and kind of share like kind of a little bit of my story first, and then I'll kind of touch on some topics, how we overcame them, and whatnot. So first of all, huge reason why I decided to take a whole year off is last year was extremely difficult for me. My mom was a couple years ago diagnosed with breast cancer. Got it all taken care of. She was gone, in remission. And then it reared its ugly head again. And this time she had some nodules on her lungs. So they had to do chemo, and it just became super overwhelming. She was in so much pain. And sadly she ended up passing away in February. So I've been overcoming that, tackling that. And I don't know if you guys watched my Instagram story a couple days ago, or I don't know when you're listening to this, there's an Instagram story at some point in time on my Instagram. I'm one of those people that just kind of tucks feelings away, and let's kind of take it back a little bit. So my mom passed away in February, okay, mind you. At this point, I am, maybe 2 months pregnant. We just kind of found out. I had just told my parents in January. She didn't pass away. She didn't pass away in February. She passed away in March. Really, really early March. I'm sorry, guys. So I kind of had freshly just kind of told them the news. Obviously, we were like excited, and I didn't really understand the extent of her cancer, because she was kind of one of those people where she didn't want to know how bad it was. I think just because she kind of wanted to live her life, and she didn't want to kind of live in fear. She didn't want us worrying about it. So we didn't know, and she kind of kept all of us in the dark. And obviously probably not my dad, but my dad and my mom pretty much kept our family in the dark about how bad it was and how horrible it was. So she kind of was trying to press on for September so that she could see baby girl Lila. And at the time, we didn't obviously know what the gender was. And it's funny because my husband and I weren't really planning on finding out the gender. It was going to be one of those lovely surprise reveals, ultimate surprise, right? And shortly after we had told him the news, she ended up having to go into the hospital, which kind of became a regular occurrence. She would need to get her lung drained. It would fill up with fluid, and she would have trouble breathing, that kind of thing. And it just got to the point where it was just so bad that she had to stay in the hospital. And I remember this day like literally a day of nightmares. I really hope I don't get emotional on this, but like I've really overcome and done so much work to the point where I think I can now find it kind of freely talk about this. I remember driving home one day, and I teach in Glendora, and she was at City of Hope, kind of really right there. And I was going to go and visit her after work. And I was like, you know what? I called my Aunt Lisa, who was with her at the time. And I called her. I was like, hey, is it a good time to come visit her? And she's like, you know, she's sleeping. She's had a long day. And just something inside me just said, like, you know, Haley, just go home. So I turned around. I went home. And I saw on my grandma's Instagram that she had just, like, the most fantastic day. She was not really up and moving at the time, and she was up and moving and talking and doing amazing. And they had done some trial, so we were kind of hoping that maybe that would work. And she had some pretty progressive doctors, which is the reason why we decided to go with City of Hope and push so hard for City of Hope. And I woke up the next day, went to work, was in the middle of teaching, and I get a phone call on my cell phone, right, from my Aunt Lisa. She was one that was constantly, her and her best friend, Carrie, were the ones that were constantly at the hotel. Or, sorry, well, it felt like a hotel, right, at City of Hope, if you've ever been, at the hospital. And I'm like, that's weird. She's calling me. I'm in the middle of work. I'll call her back when I'm on my break or whatever, because I was literally in the middle of teaching. Like, I remember the exact moment of me. I don't know if you guys have ever used Plickers in your class. We were doing a Plickers. We were going over vocabulary. Well, like, not even, like, maybe a minute later, my phone rings in my classroom. So, obviously, I answer it, and it's our secretary, and she said, hey, you're going to want to take this phone call. Your aunt's on the line. Okay. So, she kind of just starts crying and tells me, you're going to want to come to the hospital. I really don't think your mom is going to really make it that much longer. And I'm telling you this, this has a happy moment. The reason why I'm telling you guys this kind of morbid beginning. So of course, I start crying in the middle of my class with my wonderful group of fifth graders that year. And I just, like, panic, because I just, you know, you never want to think that something like that's going to happen, especially my mom was so young. She was going to be turning 50 that year, so wasn't necessarily someone who should be dealing with this. So my principal comes in, and she just says, you know, Haley, just leave. I'll take care of it. I want you to be safe. And my secretary, she's so sweet. She, like, offered to drive me there. And I said, no, I'm going to be fine. So that day, and the reason why I'm telling you this story, is my husband and I were supposed to go into the doctors in order to find out the gender of our baby. Because we were like, you know what, we ultimately want to go through with finding out what the gender is. I really want to tell my mom what we're having. And so I remember being so upset that I couldn't go and find out that information. So my husband ends up calling our doctor and says, you know what, like, and explains our situation. Because obviously we're at the hospital, and I just wanted to spend every moment with her. He calls our doctor and says, hey, explains our situation. Is there any way we can get the results over the phone? And they told us yes, but they had to wait for the doctor to be available, because she was seeing patients at the time. And so we get the call, and they told us that we were having a girl, which... My whole pregnancy, I was convinced I was having a boy just because I carried so well. I wasn't sick. And I'm sorry for those of you that just had horrible nausea and morning sickness, because I was fit as a fiddle, didn't have any problems, no nausea, no morning sickness, nothing. So I just was convinced, all those wise tales, that I was having a boy. So we find out we're having a girl. And I remember this moment. I was able to walk into that room, and she was kind of in and out of it that whole day. You can tell she was just holding on to something. And sorry. I remember looking at her and be like, hey, mom, we found out what we're having. And she just sits up, and I'm not even joking, she'd been, like, out of it the whole day. She sits up, she looks at me, and I say, we're having a girl. And she has this look on her face like she totally registered what we had told her. And it was just such an amazing moment. And I had told her, like, because my mom's middle name is Jane. My grandma's name is Jane. I told her that her name was going to be Lila Jane after her and my grandma. And the look on her face. And guys, I'm really not too open up about this stuff. So I apologize. But the look on her face when she, I know for a fact she registered what I had told her just because her eyes lit up. And it was like almost like she just kind of came at peace. And I'm not really that much of a religious person, but gosh, if there was ever a moment for me to believe that God had did that, so that I could tell her and that she could have peace, like, that was that moment. So dealing with that right around March 5th, that was the day that she ended up passing the very next morning. And obviously, I took a couple days off for bereavement or what have you. And I remember coming, and it's so funny how things work. I came to school that Friday, and Friday the 13th. And I'm sure many of you guys are very familiar with March of 2020, of the 13th. For many of us, that was our last day of in-person teaching for quite a bit of time. So we were pushed into distance learning in March, and obviously March, we got out in May, thankfully. March, April, and May, there really was no guidelines on what we were supposed to do with teaching. So mind you, I have very fresh loss of my mom. I am now 6 months pregnant, and so I'm just kind of pushing off those emotions because I'm trying to get through the rest of the school year, right? And I'm one of those people that just kind of pushes off, kind of shoves it back. And then at some point it boils its ugly head up. So got through the stress of the school year and just finally got to enjoy my summer. Well, for the most part that we could, obviously being pregnant, I was super, super worried about being exposed to COVID because, I mean, there was nothing out there that showed how it was on pregnant women. I wasn't sure how I would be like that. And I had gotten diagnosed, I think it was 34 weeks pregnant with gestational diabetes. So of course that freaked me out a little bit because people who are diabetic, and obviously this is different than gestational, but there was links to people with diabetes having a harder time with COVID. So I was stressing about that. And then right around, oh, maybe a few weeks later, I got diagnosed. They thought I didn't end up getting diagnosed with this, but they thought that I had preeclampsia because I had super high blood pressure. I had to go in twice a week for non-stress tests. And if none of you guys have ever done a non-stress test, they literally just put like little monitors on your stomach, and for 30 to 45 minutes, they just monitor baby's movement. And then once a week, they would test my like fluid levels and such and take my blood pressure every single day. Well, obviously, taking my blood pressure every single day really stressed me out. So, of course, that led to high blood pressure. But after about a couple weeks of monitoring, and this is at this point, I was about 36 weeks. And that's about the point that they would probably have you deliver if you did end up getting diagnosed with preeclampsia. My doctor had said, you know what, I'm pretty confident in telling you that you don't have that. They just like to obviously be cautious. So mind you, I'm dealing with all of this with COVID, right? And I'm trying to avoid the doctor's office and the hospital like the plague. And yet I'm having to go in two times, sometimes three times a week for weekly doctor's appointments. And mind you, I'm doing all of this by myself because at that time, husbands were not allowed to go to the doctor's office at all. So September rolls around, and I'm not even joking you, like, this pregnancy, like, everything's timing was just, like, could not have been at better timing. I was due September 14th, And that was actually the day that I had started, I was going to start my maternity leave. And I remember like telling myself, like, I really want you to come on Sunday. This was on Friday. I think I was saying this the Friday before she was due. I really want you to come on Sunday so that I can start my leave and I can really make the most of my maternity leave. I can have all of the tail end with her. So like clockwork, 5 a.m. on the 13th of September, started having pretty bad contractions. And when I had went in on that Friday, the doctor had told me that I was dilated at zero. So he's like, okay, so I really want you to wait before you go in because it'll take some time, whatever, mind you. So we waited a pretty long time, a couple hours, like 10 o'clock, I think, is when we decided to go into the hospital because at that point it was getting pretty bad. And I remember this like nurse giving me so much sass. And I went to Hoag. And if you guys have ever been to Hoag, it's literally like a 5-star resort of hospitals. So I love me some Hoag. But my nurse was giving me some sass because I told her, you know, I'm having contractions. I think I'm in labor. And she's kind of looking at me like, you're too calm to be in labor. And she's like, okay, well, we'll test and we'll figure it out and we'll see. Do you think your water broke? And I was like, I don't know, maybe. And she's kind of giving me that look like, okay, lady. Well, they tested me and it ended up coming back positive. My water did break. And she kind of relaxed a little bit after that. She was like, okay, you are in labor. And from there on out, it was an amazing experience. I'm going to fast forward a little bit and kind of give a little shout out. If you guys have ever delivered at Hoag, or if you're thinking about it, one of the nights they give you a celebratory dinner, and we got some sparkling cider and a 3-course meal of steak, dessert, salad. It was amazing and the best meal I probably ever had at a hospital. And so I just think that's just the funnest little detail. Baby was passed out sleeping and we're sitting there eating our 3-course meal at a hospital. So as a new parent, it's just so funny because I really, really think we have a false reality of what being a parent is. I loved kids. I was the oldest cousin, oldest sibling. I was around babies all the time. I nannied for a hot second when I was getting my master's. So I love babies. And I thought, you know what? I know it can be hard. I know you don't really sleep, but I really wish people were educated a little bit better, because then I don't think it would be so jarring when you realize that it's not everything that you thought it would be. And I'm saying this because, you know, you're given your baby, it's an emotional feeling. But then you're asked to do all these things, right? Like, you just think breastfeeding, right? That's the way to go, because that's what everyone says is the best way to go. But it's really hard and it's really difficult. And you think, really, how hard can something like that be? It's pretty dang hard. So, and I did end up sticking with it for quite a bit. But for all those moms that stick with breastfeeding, like, wow. You deserve a pat on the back, because I struggled with it for the longest time. And I just kind of was super determined to make it work just because I wanted it to. But man, it's rough. And I'm just going to like kind of say things very rated G. I'm not trying to get super graphic into things, but it's painful. Your baby doesn't always know what to do. And you just have this vision like they should know what to do. But guess what? They're learning right alongside you. So that's the part that's hard. As a new mom, you know nothing. So I would sit there and just constantly be like, is this normal? Google was my best friend, or maybe my worst enemy. I don't know which one, because every little thing you Google, how long should breastfeeding sessions be? How do you get baby to latch better, right? All those questions. And I constantly, because I remember being in the hospital and the lady's like, okay, sessions should be like about 30 minutes. And I remember like panicking whenever they were longer than 30 minutes. I'd panic when they were shorter than 30 minutes. So if you've ever been in that game and I'm talking to you, like, I really hope there's someone in their car or on their walk just shaking their head right now, because the amount of things that just go through your head is ridiculous. And I'm just here to tell you that that is completely normal. I think every single mom is like that. And I'm going to go ahead and say I kind of was a little bit, well, at least I felt a lot by myself, because obviously the person that I would turn to the most wasn't there anymore. My sister is younger than me. I'm the oldest sister, so that wasn't going to work. All of my friends' pregnancies were, I was the first basically out of my friends to be pregnant, so I didn't really have many friends to like lean on to if I had a question or I was struggling with something. I had one friend, and I swear I probably messaged poor Rachel. Rachel, if you're listening to this, you girl are a lifesaver. I texted her all the time, and I tried not to like bombard her, because you don't want to be like that. Is this normal? Did your baby do this? And obviously all babies are different, so it's really hard to compare and do that whole game with. But shout out to you, because you were more helpful than you probably ever realized. And just now looking back, those first like 3 months were such a blur. I knew our baby was a little bit more difficult than probably your average baby. Girlfriend did not like to sleep. And when I'm telling you she didn't like to sleep, I would look up like average hours a newborn should be sleeping, right? They see like, oh, 16 hours, 18 hours. I was lucky if she would get like 10. She just didn't. She was just super hyper aware of her surroundings, which is great. She's just a very aware child. Like she's aware. She's always aware of her surroundings ever since she was born. I think the second day, I remember a nurse coming in and she was like already trying to like lift her head. She's just kind of one of those go-getters. And, you know, I laugh because that's my husband. Not that I'm not a go-getter, but if you ever met him or if you know him, you know exactly what I'm talking about. He's one of those people that just goes. Anyways. So I kept thinking like, there's no way people do this. And again, and this is not to sell anything short, but I'm just going to take a quick moment to praise all of those single moms or single dads out there, single parents. Like I kept thinking, me and my husband actually kept saying this, like, how do people by themselves do this? Because we were lucky we had each other as a team, but oh my God, for those of you that had to do this by yourself, I just give you so much grace and so much, I don't even know what to call it, but you are superwoman or superman or super powered, because I don't know how I would have been able to do it by myself, let alone having maybe twins or triplets. I kept thinking that over and over again, like, how do people with multiple babies do this? How do people who are by themselves do this? Just because she was not a sleeper and she was always so hungry. Like I would just feed her. And then she would sleep 2 hours, sometimes 3 hours, like on the dot, right? Because you had to feed them, they say, every 3 hours. And you typically have to do that until they're back up to their birth weight or whatever. So I remember the doctor gave us the good news that we could let her sleep longer than 3 hours. I was like, yes. Oh, but Lila had other plans for me. She told me, no, I'm not going to let you get sleep. And I remember just kind of being in that moment. My husband, like, God bless him. I just have these big memories of me, like, putting her down and be like, okay, I'm going to go to sleep. And she would wake up. And my husband's like, okay, you try and sleep as long as you can. I'm going to sit. And he would just sit and rock her in the rocking chair and then come get me when she seemed like she was hungry. And I'm just kind of here to tell you that if you're in that thick of it right now, it does get better. I think, and it sounds like I used to get so almost irritated when people tell me this, like, oh, enjoy these moments because it doesn't last forever. And this may seem like a lifetime, right? Because it feels like it's never going to end, but there's an end to everything. This moment will only last so long and you'll be on to the next stage. And I remember thinking, like, there's no way. Like, my baby's just one of those babies that just doesn't sleep. She's beside the norm. And I'm not even joking when I say I think I had taken every single newborn class. I had tried taking care of babies. I did Moms on Call. I followed every single sleeping specialist that there was. And every single tip that I would use that they said works every time, didn't work every time. Girlfriend did not like pacifiers. She did not suck her thumb. For the longest time, she hated to swaddle. And so it was like this girl was just driving me bonkers. And I know they say that God does not give you the things that you can't handle. And so in a sense, it kind of has to think like, okay, that he's giving me this because he thinks I can handle it. And at that point, I just kept thinking like, right? My mom had passed away. I'm dealing with this baby that is just like nightmare. And I just kept thinking like, this is my life. Which sounds really dark. And looking back, it's kind of hard because you don't feel like you're depressed, right, when you are. But I was in such a dark place. And I know it was because obviously you get those baby blues. And kids, no one have told you if you are pregnant and you're listening to this, you get what's called baby blues for 2 weeks. And I thought nothing of that. I was like, I'll be a little sad or I'll be fine. I'm typically a very happy person, very happy, go lucky, positive. I always think on the positive side of things. Boy, was I wrong, just because I think I had been tucking those emotions away about my mom, that it just kind of really all boiled to her surface. I would just sit there and just cry, not for no reason, just because I knew like, oh, I could call my mom right now and she would know exactly what to do. And so that was my biggest struggle. And so, you know, I was in that for probably a few weeks. And again, I'm going to kind of give a little shout out to my husband because he was amazing. He would stay up with her. We would switch off waking up if he knew that I had just had a rough night the night before. And we figured out a system, right? Our system was once I got down to like, I think she would only wake up twice or... No, she would wake up once in the middle of the night. Once I got to the one makeup in the night, I was like, oh my God, I could do this forever if I needed to, right? If once you've your lack of sleep, once you can start getting like 6 hour stretches, you're like, oh my God, what was life before when I would get more than 6 hours? And so our system was, I would do the middle of the night feed. I'd breastfeed her. He'd wake up with her at 7 a.m. or whenever she'd wake up in the morning, 6:30, 7 a.m. I would sleep in till 8. And then I would pump or whatever, and he would give her bottle in the morning. So that would kind of give me an extra hour of sleep, and it would help, you know, me boost a supply of milk in the freezer. And that system was amazing. So if you're like, oh my God, I don't know how to do this, that if your baby takes the bottle, that was a saving grace because that got me an hour extra hour of sleep. It made me not feel so like I'm the only one that's able to provide for this baby, which... Let's talk about that for a second. I remember just being so frustrated and jealous later down the road. Like, this is maybe when she was like 3 months. I'm getting a little bit more sleep, right? My husband went back to work. And I remember being just so envious. Like, oh, he can leave the house. His life hasn't changed at all. My life has changed so much, right? I can't go anywhere. And I'm being dramatic. I could have went somewhere, but I was just talking to a mom the other day, and it's just because you get into this rut like, ugh, by the time I get all the things together, I get him in the car, we go to the place, I'm only going to be able to be there for 5 minutes before I have to turn back around and put them down for a nap or feed them or whatever. Or let's not even talk about the fact that if you're gone for longer than 2 hours, your boobs are literally going to explode. So I found myself jealous and envious of that. Like, he could go golfing and be gone for 6 hours and just be fine. Like, hey, I'm back. I was a baby. And I remember, like, there was one day I went and got my nails done. And I'm not even, or not my nails, my hair done. Because, wow, COVID and roots. I went and got my hair done. And I was gone for 2.5 hours, and I remember being in so much pain by the time I went home. And you guys, 2 hours is like nothing, right? Because by the time you get in the car, get there, it's really only an hour and a half. And I just remember being like, oh my gosh, his life hasn't changed at all, and mine has changed so much. And at some point you kind of get out of it, like, you know, like, I'm the one who's lucky enough to be able to care for this child. And obviously I started changing those thoughts around. But if you're feeling that way, I want you to know that it's completely normal. You're not the only one. There are so many moms that deal with that jealousy of your life hasn't changed at all, and theirs, or I'm sorry, their life hasn't changed at all, and yours has changed dramatically. And I think every single conversation that I have with other moms is that the hardest part is that you feel like you're in this endless cycle, right? It feels like Groundhog's Day. You wake up and do the same thing. And if you're like me, you put your baby on a schedule because that's what they say to do. And I mean, it is nice in the long run, and I'll explain why if you're thinking about it or you don't have it on a schedule. But it literally is the same thing every day, especially when they're new babies, right? Wake up, feed, wake time, asleep. And that continues and continues and continues until bedtime. And then you wake up and you just do the same old day over and over again. And again, love my baby. But if you really don't connect with them as a newborn, I'm here to tell you that that is okay. I love my baby. I adored her. But me and my husband look at each other all the time and I'm like, newborn stage isn't for us. And I hope that doesn't sound bad. And if you're a mom and you're like, oh my God, yes, I agree with that 100%. I'm here to tell you that there are people out there that newborn phase is their favorite. They could just have newborns all day and just pass them along, right, when they get to a certain age. I'm here to tell you that the infant to the stage I'm in right now has been my absolute favorite so far because they're more active. I can do more with her. It's fun. She can respond to me. I get more out of, you know, playing with her rather than them just sitting there and being like a blob, right? Or, okay, we're going to do some tummy time. We're going to lay on our tummy. So, like I said, it's, and I hated when people told me this, but looking now on the other side, it is just only a small, small moment. So if you're feeling like, oh my God, I'm never going to get out of here, it's just an endless cycle over and over and over and over again. It gets better. And I'm not even going to joke with you when I say that I am obsessed with my child now. Not that I wasn't then, but now I'm like obsessed with her. Like I don't want to spend a waking moment away from her, right? And I'm not saying that when she was a newborn. And that's going to kind of lead me into my next thing. If you're given the chance to step away or take a night off or just go to dinner for a few hours or, you know, grandma watches the baby for a night, I'm going to go ahead and tell you to not feel guilty about that. And I'm going to tell you why. You are not going to feel guilty about that because it is going to be so freeing for you. It's going to be so great for you and your significant other's relationship because it's kind of when a baby is introduced into your life, it's suddenly not just you and your significant other anymore. It's that that other being is now really the full center of everything, right? It's all you think about. And me and my husband laugh because, you know, you're tired. You're like, oh, I can't wait for them to go to bed. They're in bed and they're all that you think about, right? You look at videos, you get pictures, like, oh, can she wake up so I can hold her? Or him. But I don't want you guys to feel jealous about that because, or jealous. Wow. Wait a minute. I don't want you to have guilt about leaving them, like, oh, I should be home with them. The reason is because you will come back and you will have, right, your cup is refilled again. You have more patience. You miss them, right? So that time away kind of makes you want to be with them more. I'm not saying that I never wanted to be with my baby, but you guys know what I'm saying. And so I get the biggest thing that a lot of new moms say is like, oh, I don't know how you're able to leave. I just can't. And I'm going to tell you that the first time I think Clinton, my husband's mom, so my in-law, mother-in-law, watched her for a night so we can go to our usual date night. And we had a date night every single Friday, every week. We never missed one. And if we did, it was because we went out to dinner that week already at a different date. And so we did our usual Friday night date night. And again, this was really rough because it was during COVID, so there wasn't really anything open. But this was kind of right when restaurants opened up again. And I remember being like, oh, thinking about her the whole time. Like, is she asleep? How is she doing? Like, I constantly, you know, texting the in-law. And she's like, she's fine. She's asleep. She's good. And just when I came back, I just felt, when she did that middle of the night wake up, I remember being like, okay. I was excited to go in there. and hold her and just like kind of actually take in the moment rather than it being just in the motion, like, okay, wake up, change diaper, feed, go back to sleep. You kind of just like are more present, I guess you can say, for that. And so I don't want you to feel guilty, and you guys should not feel guilty about taking time for you and your husband. That is the most important thing. Because I'm like those cheesy statements, right? You can't give with an empty cup, or whatever that statement is, right? You can't pour from an empty cup. And that's so true. And I realized at that moment, like, this is what they're talking about when they see those cheesy one-liners. So make sure to schedule some time for you. Okay. So another topic I wanted to talk about that, again, I was talking with my mom girlfriends, and she said, you know, I just really despise the fact that I can't be spontaneous anymore. And I was thinking, you know, she's so right. Like, there is no more spontaneity. And, you know, I'm sure later on the road when the baby's older, the kids are older, you can for sure have that. My baby's 9 months old, and I try to stay pretty strict to our schedule. So I mentioned a schedule early on. So this is kind of just what I mean by that. And it's kind of loose. Only, I'm not even joking when I say my Lila girl is, if it's a minute past her usual nap time, she starts getting real cranky. She's flexible when she's having fun and entertained, but when we're just kind of sitting there and I lost track of time, that's when it hits. But, you know, wakes up every morning around 7. If she hasn't woken up at 7, I usually let her sleep in a little bit, like 10 minutes, and that's pretty much it. We'll wake up, feed a bottle, we play, she'll eat breakfast an hour later. After that, we play, and then she goes to sleep at 9, okay? So we kind of repeat that whole process of, and she's pretty good because she's just, like I said, very active, and she's been that way since birth. So she goes, and she crashes when it's nap time. So she'll give me usually about two an hour and a half nap. And this is coming, you guys, from a person who's told you that this girl didn't nap during the day, didn't sleep longer than 3 hour stretches. And it was just because I was so consistent with keeping her on a schedule and putting her on a schedule. And she just really started doing well once, I think it was about month 5. Yeah, month 5 is usually when babies' naps consolidate. Consolidate meaning that their nap cycles, sleep cycles, start connecting. And you guys, when I say Google was my best friend in the beginning, I really meant that Google was my best friend. The amount of research that I fixated on, I feel like I could teach a course on newborn sleep because I researched the heck out of it. I researched 4 month sleep regression because I was thinking like, okay, finally, you know, 3 months, you kind of get in a groove. And I remember thinking like, oh my God, if I have to go through what I went through in month 1 and 2, I will literally lose it. And I think I was just lucky with her. I don't know if she just maybe went through her regression earlier, like at that three month mark when it was extra bad. Because right around 4 months was when she started sleeping through the night entirely. Like, I didn't have to go in there once. And we did end up sleep training her. We did do cry it out method for 2 nights. And after that second night, I've never had to go in there. Not once. And I'm not saying that that is the tried and true method for everyone to use. You know your baby. Do your research. Figure out which method works for you. That's one thing I did learn. There are thousands. Well, not say thousands. We'll say hundreds. Or dozens. Hundreds sounds like a lot. There are dozens of methods that you can use for anything, right? Feeding. Breastfeeding. Sleeping. Introducing solid foods. Transitioning in a swaddle. There are so many different methods. And so when people ask me like, oh, what did you do? This is what worked for me. This is what I did. And here's where we are at month 9. And I haven't had a problem since we were in that 4 month sleep regression rank. I guess the biggest thing for me to say for the, you know, best success, I guess you could say, you know, to be, figure out what works for you and just be consistent with that. you're doing is absolutely amazing and incredible. To hang in there. And you know, those first couple of weeks when you feel like you're in that fog and you feel like you've lost who you are, I highly suggest, if you can, obviously get as much sleep as you can. Which that was really hard for me because I'm not a napper. Maybe invest in a good eye mask, because that is what, or a sleep mask, because that is definitely what helped me nap. that was a complete sidebar. But find something that when you do it, it makes you feel who you are again. For me, it was going on walks. So my husband would watch Lila, and I would go for a quick walk, just like around the block. Obviously, you're still healing during that time, so you can't do anything too strenuous. And doodling on my iPad again. I could not tell you the last time that I had doodled. It was a long stretch. And it was kind of when her naps were getting, and I say predictable in quotes at this point because they really weren't, but somewhat on a schedule, right? She would do longer than 20 minutes. I just started sitting and doodling and drawing things just for fun. And that's kind of when I saw myself kind of come back to life in a sense, just because I was like rerouting myself or regrounding myself to who I am. I think a lot of times you are kind of in a sense mourning the person that you were before you became a mom, because so much about you changes. Obviously, you're not just taking care of you. You're taking care of yourself and another human being. The part that just would frustrate me was just the fact that child care and child taking care of a child is really female centered, which really bugs me. Like, why can't it be very equal? And my husband does a really great job of doing his part, but that really irritated me at the very beginning. Like, man, I'm the only one that can feed her. I'm the only one that can do this. I'm the only one that can do that. And getting over that was kind of my hurdle. And just know that you're doing an amazing job. I can't tell you, and I'm speaking for myself, how much I questioned myself. It really takes a lot to do something extremely wrong. One thing that my husband kind of kept telling over and over again is, Haley, or if you watch my Instagram story a few weeks ago, Hey Leaf, as the captions like to title my name, Haley, you're taking care of another human, right? They can control their emotions. They can decide things. It's not so much you controlling this thing and it's listening to you and doing exactly what you need it to do. It has a mind of its own. It does things that it wants to do on its time, on its own timing. So once I kind of got to grips with that, like, okay, Haley, you can't control this little being. It still has a mind of its own. It's still going to do what it wants, no matter how much of an environment you set up that's successful. It's going to be the baby's decision to do that when it wants to nap and that kind of thing. But again, I say, you know, it's great to reach out to friends. Sometimes I think that's overwhelming. So whenever my friends have babies, I don't try to like overwhelm them. If they want to come out to me and ask me a question, I'm an open book. But I think nothing is more stressful than when you have like five different things thrown your way when you didn't ask for it unsolicitedly. So I kind of take the approach of step back. I'll give you maybe one or two pointers in the beginning because those were things that took me a while to learn. But again, I think sometimes we can get overwhelmed with how much there is. And just a general rule of thumb, with having kids, everything expands. And what I say with that meaning, I used to be able to go to the beach and just hang out and whenever I wanted, stay as long as you wanted. Bring only a bag and a book with some suntan lotion. And now there are millions of little things to bring with you. And, you know, there's going to be a day when you're sitting there and you're like, gosh, darn it. I totally forgot this important thing that I should have brought with me. And guess what? You're going to be screwed and you're going to be in that moment and you will never, ever forget that thing ever again. I have to tell a funny story about my best friend, Macy. Going to call you out. She was telling me this story of, I think it was their very first checkup. And mind you, this is the part that's like super difficult for me to wrap my head around. You just had a baby, right? Whew. You have no idea what you're doing. About 2 days later or so, you're supposed to go back to the doctor's office to get a checkup. Like, and mind you, this time during COVID, I'm by myself. So I had to bring this baby back by myself 2 days later in a car. Like, what am I doing? Anyways, so her and her husband are bringing their baby back for their, you know, checkup after birth. And I kid you not, she tells me, Haley, I had forgotten the diaper bag when I took the baby to the doctor's office. And I'm sure you, those of you that are moms are thinking, oh no, you did not just make the holy grail mistakes, right? So she says she forgot the diaper bag, which is, you know what, we're only gone for a short amount of time. It's going to be fine. Well, baby ends up having a blowout. Okay, no diaper bag means no diapers. So she said they were sitting there at the peds office looking, she said, probably like horrible parents because we didn't have a diaper with us. They had to give their little newborn a size 4 diaper, which is ginormous. And she said she has never, ever, ever, ever forgotten the diaper bag wherever she goes. And so, you know, there's going to be a moment where you're just like, dang it, I forgot the diaper bag, or I forgot this. And you just kind of have to sit and laugh about it, problem solve, and just take that mental note to never forget that important thing ever, ever again. For me, it's wipes. I used to always forget wipes, and those, you know, come in handy for multiple reasons. But my real reason for wanting to put kind of like a mom-related episode out there is just that I felt like personally I went through, and I feel like I always end up in the, one of those people that goes through the toughest parts of things when it really shouldn't be that difficult. And just know that you're not alone. It gets better. Just stick with what you're doing. It'll all work out. Find your people, right? I have all my friends now that have babies, and it's just kind of fun just to kind of sit and chat and not complain, but to let off steam, right? Of things that are stressing us out. Maybe ask for advice here or there. But if you don't have your people, I suggest joining a group. One of the number one things that got me through really was, I don't know if any of you guys follow this girl, but I'm obsessed with her. Her name is Ashley Torres at Everyday Pursuits, and she has this mom group that I just clung to those first couple weeks when I didn't have anybody, because it was kind of all moms like me, babies varying ages. They would just ask questions, give advice, and that was just kind of one thing that I clung to, especially during COVID when they weren't, we didn't have groups or, you know, mommy meetups or that kind of thing. So I suggest finding something. You can't do it by yourself. You have to have somebody, and if even if it's just there for someone to lend an ear for you to complain to, someone to watch the baby for an hour so you can take an extra nap. Do not feel guilty about that, because that was the number one mistake that I did. I just had this overwhelming feeling like I needed to do it all by myself, right? I'm the mom. I'm the one that should be doing this. So don't. It really does take a village. Lean on your husband. Lean on your friends. Lean on your family. And if, you know, there is nothing wrong with leaning on strangers, because moms get you. They are not judgy. And I used to think that people would be so judgy, but we've really all been through it. And you come out stronger on the other side. Yeah. So I think I'll end it up there. That's all the things I wanted to cover and talk about. Just as kind of those beginning weeks and months. And if you're feeling the same way as me, as I did, what is it? The whole saying, misery loves company. No, I'm just kidding. It's kind of comforting. You find comfort in knowing that other people were there with you, feeling the same things you felt. And like I said, make sure that you have your people, because that's kind of what my saving grace was, at least. So next week, we'll be back to your regularly scheduled content on teaching. You know, this was kind of a fun little sprinkle of personal life that I might throw in every now and then when a topic that I think is important comes up. But if you guys have any questions, or really you need someone to talk to, I can be your girl. Just send me a message, send me an email, send me a DM. I will respond. I really do try to respond to every message. And if I have not responded to your message and you're like, Haley, I've tried messaging before and you never responded, Instagram's been doing this funky thing where it just like, I lose unread messages. And the only way that I see it is if I filter unread messages. And so I will get back to you at some point. Some of you probably got a message from me a month later. But like I said, I will always respond. So if you're struggling and you need someone to chat with, I'm here. And guess what? There are plenty, actually, if you really open up your eyes and look around, there's more people than you think that are feeling those things. And if you were pregnant, I really did not mean to scare you. It's really not that bad. I just feel like I had a wild luck of the draw and kind of everything stacked up against me. Those emotions were running pretty much on overdrive because of all the things that had happened to me. And so when people say, oh, 2020 was awful, I kind of almost look at them like, you have no idea. So this year is already a million times better. So I'm just hoping it kind of stays that way for you too. So if you're listening to this on a Tuesday, I hope you're having a fantastic Tuesday. And if you're not, I hope you're just having a fantastic day in general. You know where to follow me at Hello Mrs. Harwick on Instagram. You can email me at HelloMrsHarwick@gmail.com. You can visit my website and you can message me there. That works as well. You can check out some of my blogs. I'm going to have a new one coming out on all the things that I'm loving for my 9-month-old, because you really don't need all the things that you see influencers and stuff post about. I've kind of gone through some things and I'm going to show you what things you actually need and what things you probably don't. Yeah. So this has been fun, kind of mixing in some mom life with some teacher life. So if you're here for it, I'm happy. And if you're not, I apologize, but that's just kind of how things are, right? Become a mom. I'm going to share some things about it. But love you guys. And again, feel free to reach out. Bye.
So I guess this is it. Till next time. Yes, don't forget to check out the show notes for any of the links that I discussed in today's episode. If you enjoyed today so far, please share it with a friend, because the more, the merrier. Thanks for tuning in, and I can't wait to see you guys next time.